This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for September 16th, 2011. I'm Natalie Pinchem. I will be reading a summary of some of the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery today. Topics covered in this podcast are pituitary surgery, vascular disorders, surgical technique, and oncology. Prospective evaluation of the characteristics and incidence of adenoma-associated dural invasion in Cushing disease. A clinical article by Russell Roland Lonzer and colleagues. Paracellar dural invasion by pituitary adenomas is a risk factor for incomplete resection and recurrence. The authors of this study prospectively analyzed the incidence of dural invasion by adrenocorticotropic hormone-secreting adenomas in Cushing disease. They evaluated the clinical, surgical, and histological findings in patients with Cushing disease who underwent resection of adrenocorticotropic hormone-releasing adenomas at the National Institutes of Health. They found that dural invasion was present in 34% of cases, and that the most common site of dural invasion was the medial wall of the cavernous sinus. In fact, 60% of all dural invasion cases occurred in the medial wall of the cavernous sinus. Interestingly, dural invasion was associated with adenoma size. However, preoperative MRI was not accurate in predicting dural invasion. Only 22% of cases with cavernous sinus invasion were predicted by preoperative imaging, and none of the cases of non-cavernous sinus dural invasion were predicted by preoperative imaging. Based on the results, the authors concluded that paracellar dural invasion by adrenocorticotropic hormone-releasing adenomas is not uncommon and preferentially occurs in the medial wall of the cavernous sinus. The authors state that to achieve lasting biochemical remission, it is necessary to identify and remove invaded cellar dura, including the medial cavernous sinus walls. Craniocervical arterial dissections as sequelae of chiropractic manipulation, patterns of injury and management. A clinical article by Felipe Albuquerque and co-authors. Chiropractic manipulation of the cervical spine is a known cause of craniocervical arterial dissections. The authors describe the patterns and management of arterial injury after chiropractic manipulation. The authors identified 13 patients treated at their institution with a mean age of 44 years who presented with neurological deficits, head and neck pain, or both, typically within hours or days of chiropractic manipulation. Arterial dissections were identified along the entire course of the vertebral artery. Three patients had vertebral artery dissections that continued rostrally to involve the basilar artery. Stent deployment was performed in 5 cases, and thrombolysis of the basilar artery was performed in 1 case. 3 patients underwent emergency cerebellar decompression because of impending herniation. 6 patients were treated using medication alone. Clinical follow-up was obtained in all patients, with a mean follow-up of 19 months. 3 patients had permanent neurological deficits, and 1 died from a massive cerebellar stroke. The remaining 9 patients recovered completely. All stents were widely patent at a mean follow-up of 12 months. Chiropractic manipulation of the cervical spine can produce dissections involving the cervical and cranial segments of the vertebral and carotid arteries. These injuries can be severe, requiring endovascular stenting and cranial surgery. As a result of their injuries, 3 of the 13 patients in this study were left permanently disabled and 1 died. Use of in vivo near-infrared laser confocal endomicroscopy with indocyanine green to detect the boundary of infiltrative tumor. A laboratory investigation by Nikolai Martirosyan and co-workers. Resection of infiltrative tumor is based on regional or macroscopic imaging identification of tumorous tissue and the attempt to delineate invasive tumor margins in macroscopically normal appearing tissue while preserving normal brain tissue. The authors tested miniaturized confocal fiber optic endomicroscopy for near-infrared imaging of indocyanine green as an in vivo tool to identify infiltrating glioblastoma cells and tumor margins. The indocyanine green fluorescence greatly enhanced the sensitivity of the macroscopic observations and provided real-time in vivo microhistological information precisely related to the site of imaging. Individual tumor cells within brain tissue were identified, and a definitive tumor border was delimited. Application of this technology to allow in vivo microscopic assessment of the brain during surgery holds the potential to increase the diagnostic yield of tissue sampling, to improve surgical and pathology workflow, and to guide surgery on a microscopic level. The authors' data suggest that combined near-infrared macroscopic and microscopic imaging with indocyanine green in vivo could allow the interactive identification of tumor areas and the extent of microscopic tumor cell infiltration into the brain, substantially improving the surgeon's ability to make decisions during the resection of malignant gliomas. Improvement in the standard treatment for experimental glioma by fusing antibody Fc domain to endostatin. A laboratory investigation by Rachel Grossman and colleagues. Endostatin is an endogenous inhibitor of angiogenesis that showed promising high potency against solid tumors in preclinical studies. Therefore, it was unexpected when it demonstrated a limited response in subsequent phase 1 and 2 clinical trials. It was determined that the clinical formulation of endostatin had 2 major flaws. The half-life of the protein in circulation was very short, less than 45 minutes, and 50% of the endostatin lacked 4 amino acids at the NH2 terminus of the molecule. This deletion resulted in decreased anti-tumor activity. To overcome these deficiencies, a molecule fused to an antibody Fc domain was constructed and named Fc endostatin. In this set of studies, efficacy was assessed using the intracranial 9L gliosarcoma model in rats. The rats were treated with MFC endostatin, either systemically or locally, via various delivery methods. Intracranial delivery of FC endostatin via polymer or convection-enhanced delivery 5 days after tumor implantation increased median survival when compared with that in the control group. Systemically delivered FC endostatin also prolonged the survival of animals as compared with controls. This benefit in survival was further enhanced when FC endostatin was combined with the oral chemotherapeutic agent temozolomide. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.